Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Deeper Truth is back, and better than ever. From John Carpenter and Journey with Mary, Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Dr. Gregory Thompson and Eucharistic Miracles, Monday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Yours truly with the Saint of the Day. And Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender. We're back with an even deeper truth. Join us.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war. Because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said, the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. Great forces around the moon and the world, we learn they're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today. He is patron saint of vocations to church ministry, and he played an instrumental role in building the church on the west coast of America while the area was still mission territory. Junipero Serra was an 18th century Spanish missionary who is as responsible to anyone else, or as anyone else, in establishing the Catholic presence in colonial California. And by the way, our saint of the day today has a 1950s American connection. We'll tell you what that is a little bit later on. Serra died in 1794, and the one miracle church authorities have confidently declared he performed was in 1960, when a nun in St. Louis was cured of a mystery disease thought to be lupus after having prayed to him on her deathbed. In 1776, when the American Revolution was beginning in the East, another part of the future United States was being born in California. That year, a gray-robed Franciscan founded Mission San Juan Capistrano, now famous for its annually returning swallows, which fly all right over Interstate 5, which goes north and south in California. San Juan was the seventh of nine missions established under the direction of this indomitable Spaniard. Born on Spain's island of Malacoreta, Serra entered the Franciscan order by taking the name of St. Francis, his childlike companion, Brother Juniper. Until he was 35, he spent most of his time in preaching in the classroom, first as a student of theology and then as a professor. He also became famous for his preaching. Suddenly he gave it all up and followed the yearning that had begun years before when he heard about the missionary work of St. Francis Solano in South America. Junipero's desire was to convert native people in the New World. Arriving by ship at Veracruz, which means True Cross, Mexico, he and a companion walked the 250 miles to Mexico City. On the way, Junipero's left leg became infected by an insect bite and would remain a cross, sometimes life-threatening, for the rest of his life. For 18 years, he worked in central Mexico and the Baja Peninsula. He became president of the missions there. Enter politics, the threat of a Russian invasion south from Alaska. Charles III of Spain ordered an expedition to beat Russia to the territory. So the last two conquistadors, one military, one spiritual, began their quest. José de Galvez persuaded Junipero to set out with him for present-day Monterey, California. The first mission founded after the 900-mile journey north was San Diego in 1769. That year, a shortage of food almost canceled the expedition. Vowing to stay with the local people, Junipero and another friar began a novena in preparation for St. Joseph's Day, March 19th, the scheduled day of departure. On that day, the relief ship arrived. Other missions followed: Monterey, Carmel, 1770, San Antonio and San Gabriel, 1771, San Luis Obispo, 1772, San Francisco and San Juan Capistrano, 1776, Santa Clara, 1777, San Buenaventura, 1782, 12 more were founded after Serra's death. Junipero made the long trip to Mexico City to settle great differences with a military commander. He arrived at the point of death. The outcome was substantially, what Junipero sought, the famous regulation protecting the Indians and the missions. It was the basis for the first significant legislation in California, a Bill of Rights for Native Americans. Because the Native Americans were living a non-human life from the Spanish point of view, the friars were made their legal guardians. The Native Americans were kept at the mission after baptism, lest they be corrupted in their former haunts, a move that has brought cries of injustice from some moderns. Junipero's missionary life was a long battle with cold and hunger, with unsympathetic military commanders, and even with the danger of death from non-Christian native peoples. Through it all, the unquenchable zeal was fed by prayer each night, often midnight until dawn. He baptized 6,000 people and confirmed 5,000. His travels would have circled the globe. He brought the Native Americans not only the gift of faith, but also a decent standard of living. He won their love, as witnessed especially by the grief at his death. He is buried in Mission San Carlos Borromeo, Carmel, and was beatified in 1988. Pope Francis canonized him in Washington, D.C. on September 23rd, 2015. The word that best describes Junipero is zeal. It was a spirit that came from his deep prayer and dauntless will. Always forward, never back was his motto. His work bore fruit for 50 years after his death, as the rest of the missions were founded in a kind of Christian communal living by the Indians. When both Mexican and American greed caused the secularization of the missions, the Chumash people went back to what they had been. God again, writing straight with crooked lines.
The Lone Ranger. Horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hiyo Silver, the Lone Ranger.
Hiyo Silver! Away!
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. The Lone Ranger rides again.
You're scratching your head now. You're probably thinking I lost my marbles, or maybe those barking dogs finally got to me. What in the world does the Lone Ranger have to do with our saint of the day? Okay, here's the 1950s connection. A number of episodes of that classic had the Lone Ranger receiving a letter from the Padre at the mission requesting the masked man's help in a particular situation. The masked man would drop whatever he was doing and head immediately to the mission to help the Padre. The Padre was never identified by name, but he was understood to be Father Junipero Serra. And there you have it. There's our 1950s connection.
Presenting from Deeper Truth, the Saint of the Day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the Saint of the Day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
No, but they'll sure bless.
A cowpoke rode in one hot, dusty day to a store down in old San Antone. He stood at the window and I heard him say, "Do I have a letter from home?" The postmaster looked through the mail that had come, then smilingly shook his gray head. The cowpoke looked sadly a moment at him, and these are the words that he said:
"No letter from home, no letter from home, there's never a letter from home. No message from mother or none of the others,
there's never a letter from home." That night he was shot on the wrong side of town. No more on those plains will he roam. I reached for my Bible and gave it to him and said, son, here's your letter from home. If only I had just a little more time to read it, the young kelpoke said. I can't take it with me, and I must go on. Then he died with his letter unread. The letter from home, the letter from home. No time for the letter from home. The cowboy lay dead with his letter unread. Too late for the letter from home.
And may this letter from home not be too late for us. May we receive it. You know, when you go to Mass, every 3 years, the Catholic Church goes through the Bible, A, B, and C. Years A, B, and C. And if you go daily, you go to daily Mass, and you get the Bible every day. Wonderful. And so the letter from home. And Mike, what do you think about this letter from home? You think there's a connection with this letter from home with our saint of the day today?
I think there is. It's not like the not like an American 1950s TV series, but there is a connection. There is definitely a connection. Junipero Serra made a lot of homes up and down the California coast, and a number of the missions that he started, the cities still bear those names today. San Juan Capistrano, San Diego, where I used to live once upon a time. It advertises itself as the air conditioning capital of the world. You don't need an air conditioner, and you don't need a heater. Average temperature year-round is 67 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. You know, Mike, tomorrow night, Sunday night, the return, Deeper Truth, John Carpenter.
Oh, that's right.
The return.
What are we going to have in store for us today?
We'll see. The return of John Carpenter.
Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, join John Carpenter for A Journey with Mary, an in-depth look at some of the many places Our Lady has been throughout the world since 40 A.D.
I got a message on the radio, but where it came from, I don't really know.
Came from the Catholic Defender Radio Network. That's Journey with Mary, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Sunday nights on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Well, you know, John Carpenter, excuse me again. John Carpenter is not the only initials with JC. That speaks of our ladies. Of us being her children. And so he's not the only one to say that. So here comes another JC.
Children, 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 run and jump and play. Children, you'll be men and women someday. And then you'll have to leave your
carefree children. Children need someone who understands. Children need someone to hold their hand, to cheer them when they're sad, spank them when they're bad. Now children, pretty, dirty children. Pride goes before destruction, the haughty spirit goes before a fall. Don't you know that we're all children, and it's all for one and one for all? Children, call each other names. Children, play in the grown-up games. And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children. Children who think that they are grown. Children with children of their own. From the cradle to the grave, I wish we could all behave like little children. God, little children, sweet, precious children, pretty, dirty children, little, bitty children, children, children.
And growing up as a child, think about this, Mike, I believe. As to understand, and I understand as to believe. So, there's my JC, Johnny Cash, children. And
why am I not surprised?
Well, thank you for this. This morning for presenting our saint of the day. And I love the connection with the Lone Ranger. And Tonto. Yes.
That's right, so, King Osabi.
King Osabi. All right. Now, tomorrow, it's going to be the saint of the day tomorrow. Is Saint Oliver Plunkett. And you may be saying, I don't know this saint. Well, tune in tomorrow and get to know him a little better, because we will be presenting his story tomorrow, same bat time, same bat station, here at Deeper Truth Live. Deeper Truth Live. It's so good to be back in the saddle.
Live and lively.
Yeah. And all these saints, we want to thank God for all the lives of these saints. And as always, we pray. We pray for Pope Francis and all our clergy. We pray for all our priests. We pray for all. We pray for those who are dealing with addictions, whatever the addiction might be. We pray for all those who are apostate, who are, you know, we're living in an age of, we're preserving our faith in an age of apostasy. And that's what's happening. And so we have to take this stand. That's why Deeper Truth exists. And thank you, Mike, for joining me in this battle. The battle for souls. The importance of what we're doing. And doing God's will and presenting His word. And presenting His family the family of faith, the saints in heaven, the church triumphant. There are brothers and sisters who are praying for us as well. And we read that in Revelation. Oh, yes. So we're not alone. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And so, and that's so important to us there, Mike. I'm so thankful for all the great gifts. I got a thankful heart. And here's the Saint Teresa's prayer for priests. Excuse me. Oh, Jesus, I pray for your faithful and fervent priests, for your unfaithful and tepid priests, for your priests laboring at home or abroad in distant mission fields, for your tempted priests, for your lonely and desolate priests, for your young priests, for your dying priests, for the souls of your priests in purgatory. But above all, I recommend to you the priest dearest to me, the priest who baptized me, the priest who've absolved me from my sins, the priest at whose masses I've assisted and who've given me your body and blood in Holy Communion, the priest who's and instructed me, all the priests to whom I am indebted in any other way, especially the anointing of the sick. Oh, Jesus, keep them all close to your heart and bless them abundantly in time and in eternity. Amen. And there, St. Teresa's prayer for priests. And we pray with her for our priests. Mike, you have any last thoughts before we close?
No, I just had to find the button.
Sometimes that's all what it takes.
Yeah. Well, I was going to try to feed you the Prayer for Peace by Frank Borman, but I can't find it. It's in here somewhere.
Have it ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow, because.
Oh, but I do have something else for you. You say back in the saddle again? Well, here's the original.
Yeah.
Gene Autry.
On Deeper Truth.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum weed. Back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again.
Back in the saddle again. Gene Autry, the original.
Yes, I remember that one. And so we will end with this because I think it is so important, because all of us needs to experience this fourth man in the fire.
All right, here's a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fourth man in the fire. Here is a story from the Bible that we know, a story about a miracle that happened long ago. Let's all have courage when temptations we meet. There's somebody watching who'll be strong when we're weak. They wouldn't bend. The prophet. prophet Daniel tells about three men who walked with God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, before the wicked king they stood. Now the king commanded them bound and thrown into the fiery coals that day, but the fire was so hot the men were slain, it forced them on their way. They wouldn't bear. Now when the three were cast in and the king rose up to witness their awful fate, he began to tremble at what he saw, and in astonished tones he spake, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?
Yeah.
I believe I see four men unhurt and bound and walking down there. I see Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the fiery coals they trod, but the form of the fourth man that I see is like the Son of God." They wouldn't dim.
God bless America. As we get ready for the 4th of July, be safe if you're traveling. God bless America and His Holy Catholic Church. And good day, everybody.